Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, who hasn't won anything at a casino since 2005. It was on a Star Wars slot machine in the Star Trek Experience section of the Las Vegas Hilton. I am joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who I hope don't develop an interest in gambling. If you ever find yourselves in Vegas, kids, skip the casinos and head toward Omega Mart. It's actually far less weird than Vegas itself. We are watching The Gambler, episode 31 of season 2. We are in the middle of a trio of episodes that feel quite different than the rest of season 2. For one thing, Child's Play, The Gambler, and The Search for Alpha Trion largely take place off-world. They have very small teams of Transformers. Megatron isn't even in The Gambler. And most importantly, these three episodes have new characters. New characters that never got toys in the initial G1 toy line. One such character is Defcon, the Autobot bounty hunter. Defcon is blue, with fancy red boots. He has a silver cannon mounted on the top of his head, and he can transform into a cool spaceship. He's very cool, but he's a one-off. He pops up in a few Botcon comics in the early 2000s and had a few Botcon toys, but nothing that captures a character's essence.
Well, there's a leak of an upcoming figure in Legacy Evolutions.
Oh, I didn't know about that. That sounds cool. I would like to get that. By the way, his name is Defcon with a V and not Defcon with an F, though it really sounds like Defcon in the episode. I guess the writers were not able to use words associated with nuclear weapons, and DEFCON, an acronym for Defense Readiness Condition, fell under that criteria. Thanks a lot, Cold War. I'm telling you, kids, the 80s were a wild time.
As opposed to today?
Oh, yes. Good point. One more DEFCON fact. He was voiced by John Stevenson, who also voiced Huffer, Thundercracker, Windcharger, Alpha Trion, coming up next week, and Cup, whoever that is. Written by Michael Charles Hill and airing on November 11th, 1985, this is The Gambler.
The Gambler.
Okay, so we are going to talk about The Gambler, and we begin with continuity.
Woohoo!
Emmett, Elsa, did you realize this?
Heck yes. No.
Yes, I did.
I...
You're in shock. Yes, they are in the rocket from Child's Play. The one that Perceptor rebuilt or modified to allow them to travel through space. And yeah, I was not expecting this. Because lately, there has been no connection in episodes, right? And then now we have a direct continuation from Child's Play of all the episodes.
Of all episodes.
Give Perceptor some credit. He managed to turn a toy rocket into a deep space ready spacecraft.
Yeah, come on, Inferno.
Yeah. But this toy rocket, which is also its normal size to the Autobots. The Autobots can fit in it. So this ship, so Aaron must be huge on that planet. If the Autobots are, say, what, like 20, 30 feet tall?
Oh my,
and they're
right.
Like action figures to Aaron, and his toy is enough to fit the Autobots, like that race has to be gigantic.
Wait, hold on.
They don't get shrunk down.
So if they're about the size of a deluxe or core class between them, like a, say, a modern deluxe, that would be...
Aaron would be like Unicron sized if they ever come out with the Haslabs,
you know
Aaron.
Haslabs Aaron.
Unicron Aaron.
Unicron Aaron.
Hey, it could happen. All right, so Perceptor's handiwork is starting to break down, but the ship gets caught in a tractor beam into another ship where there's armed guards, and the Autobots get out and they are led to the captain of the ship, another alien that goes by the name of Bosch.
But Bosch is 20, 30 feet tall as well.
Yeah, well, and as we'll see throughout the episode, and I think this is a good, I wouldn't say a cheat, the scale is all the same. Like, every character is the same height.
You're playing with your G.I. Joe and Transformers at the same time.
Maybe like the writers or the animators, at least, were like, oh, thank goodness we don't have to worry about scale changes from scene to scene.
This kind of, I don't know how to say this, species, I guess.
Yeah.
What those aliens that Bosch is.
Mm-hmm.
They're that close to Earth. That's kind of concerning. They're like, in the beginning, like, they were, the ship was, like, ready to go to Earth. Like, we're right there. And then these aliens come in, and they're super close to Earth.
Well, especially a sentient being, unlike that giant asteroid lizard.
Oh, yeah. All right, if we break this down very quickly, and then we got to get on with the rest of the episode. So we don't know how far away Aaron's planet was. So they're traveling from Aaron's planet to Earth. But later in the episode, we see Astro Train, and he's complaining about his energy supply, which all shuttles seem to do. Like, Omega Supreme complains that he uses all his energy, and he used all his energy getting to Titan, Saturn's moon, in the God Gambit. So that would mean that, yeah, these aliens are probably around Saturn.
Relatively close.
If you're measuring the average
rocket fuel
of a Transformer shuttle. So yeah, Elsa, they in terms of the solar system, they are pretty close.
Gee, thanks.
So getting back to the episode, Bosch captures all the Autobots in these glass tubes, and he kind of shoots them with energy bolts, and then he goes, ta-da! Instant slave. Oh, and when they're getting zapped, Bumblebee tries to transform. Did you notice that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
But it doesn't seem to work on Smokescreen, who is the main Autobot of this episode.
Well, because the tank isn't firing, but also he has a weird animation error.
Weird or better? Mm-hmm. There's this one shot where Smokescreen does not have the red in his coloring, and so he's just black, blue, and gray, and I think he looks pretty cool.
It's pretty.
I think it suits his name better.
He looks like a mix between Smokescreen Classic and original concept Blue Streak.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was actually a Blue Streak.
Right.
Sometimes if I'm not thinking, I will call Smokescreen Blue Streak because he has a blue streak, and I can just picture the meme where everyone slaps their forehead.
No, it's common. I get messed up sometimes with this. Bosch has a slot machine of his very own on his ship.
In the lab. It's not going to make you a lot of money.
In the lab?
Right. And he said, even though I programmed it for me to win, he still loses. So Bosch seems to be a gambler, but he's on a cold streak. But Bosch and Smokescreen come to an agreement that Smokescreen will help him win at gambling, and then they will free the Autobots, and they'll win enough Energon. Here's another thing. They'll win enough Energon to fuel Bosch's ship.
Convenient.
So we see a lot of extra uses for Energon in this episode. It seems to be used by more than just Autobots and Decepticons as a, it's used as a fuel source by Bosch in his ship. And later on, it's used as currency.
Yeah.
At the casino.
So Energon so far has been used as fuel for guns, fuel for bots, fuel for ships, currency, and the best of all, Cybertron. Yeah. Alcohol. It's alcohol. Been used as alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Way back.
Microbots.
Yeah, I think
so. It was Microbots. Yeah.
So we see also that Smokescreen is a gambler because he has a little gambling wire that he can just attach to a machine and he'll win every time.
My designer was so smart.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of cool because we don't get to see a lot of Smokescreen show his character, and this is definitely different for a hero that he's a gambler. He likes to work the slot machines.
I mean, he's sort of a coward. He uses smoke to hide himself, doesn't he? Smokescreen.
Maybe not a coward, but maybe sly.
I like that word better.
Bosch shrinks down the Autobots, the
actually
remaining
shrinks
ones.
Them this time.
Yeah, so now we're back to like Child's Play scale, but they would be smaller. Yeah. Bosch is going to use the Autobots as collateral for Energon to buy into casino games. And then Smokescreen will help him cheat. And then Bosch can win enough Energon to power his ship. And then he'll let everybody go. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, seems all right.
So we go to this planet called Monicus.
Oh, asteroid.
Oh, it's an asteroid. Okay. It's an asteroid named Monicus. I'm guessing that it's kind of named after Monaco, which is known for its casinos.
I didn't know.
Well, that. You haven't watched enough James Bond movies, I guess.
I haven't watched one.
But I like this. Bosch gets into Smokescreen, and they're basically driving around trying to sell the Autobots. But then this one guy who's like this weird purple bird man.
He looks like something from like, what's the Dark Crystal.
Yeah, he looks like
Oh my goodness.
He looks like a Skeksis mixed with,
Muppet.
Here goes, yeah, we'll go with that. I was about to reveal my lack of knowledge of Dragon Ball Z, but okay, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, he does look like him.
Yeah, still gotta read and watch that. But he turns away Bosch, and he's like, I got robots up to my eyeballs. So That's another wrinkle, and this is why I like this episode. There's these little kind of world building things that happen, and they may be just a line here and there, but like, there's more than just Bosch selling robots. Like, how many robots? Who are these robots? Are they Cybertronians? Are they something else? Are they GoBots?
He's showing off his Beyblade collection.
Yeah.
Say, you want them? Nope, I already got a ton.
Well, fun fact, I looked this up. The author of this episode originally pitched this as a GoBots episode, but it was turned down because I guess
gambling.
They didn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are GoBots?
See, the name Leader One wasn't always a Transformer.
Also, GoBots were a competing transforming robot toy line and cartoon.
Okay, because I've definitely heard of them. I just never really knew what they were. And they sounded like knockoffs. But
they were first.
They actually came out before,
I know,
Transformers. Yeah.
But so many people, like when Emmett's watching YouTube of Transformers, I hear them mention GoBots all the time. I'm just like, what are they?
Yep.
What are they?
I have some in the basement.
The challenge of the GoBots.
Yep. Bosch and Smokescreen are striking out. And there's like, oh, there's one more guy we can try. And that's Lord Gaikini.
Which, don't laugh at his appearance. I'm very sensitive about it.
Well,
he looks like a fish. He looks more fishy than Boston ass.
Mm-hmm. So, even I'm glad you brought this up, because this whole area seems very Mos Eisley-ish, you know?
Eisley-ish.
Mos
Eisley-ish.
I love her album. So we go to Lord Gaikini, who, this is a very, I don't know, it kind of has a lot of Star Wars in this. Did you kind of feel this? There's a lot of Star Wars elements.
Jabba, oh, definitely.
Yeah. Bosch and Smokescreen walk into the very well-labeled Lord Gaikini's Pit of Destruction.
Oh.
It's right above the doorway.
It's an avocado.
I have a clue of what this could be.
Seems like a fun place. They make stuffed animals.
And there's this kind of weird Jawa guy that walked past him, which we will see later. And so this Lord Gaikini has like a gladiator pit with a creature named...
an animalian.
Right. Not an animorph.
It's time for animaniacs.
Not an animaniac.
They kind of look like a rancor a bit. Did you get that?
This is all animalian? Jabba. Not really.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't get the Star Wars parallels, but...
Oh,
wait,
wow.
Because I was too engrossed in this, even though I finished Revenge of the Sith Minute.
On Star Wars Minute?
Yep.
With our former guest host, Pete the Retailer?
Yep. But I did not see the Jabba the Hutt, the Rancor.
Oh my gosh.
I did not
see... What about this guy that's showing up? Slizardo.
A.K.A. one of your favorite characters in Star Wars and this.
Salacious Crumb?
Yes.
Mixed with the Death Stick guy. Sleaze Bagano?
I was thinking that when I heard Slizardo, I was like, Sleaze Bagano.
He has a first name. Elon, of course.
Elon.
Elon Sleaze Bagano. He's the guy in Attack of the Clones that tries to sell Obi-Wan death sticks.
Oh. What,
in the related questions was, did the death sticks guy rethink his life?
So here we meet the owner of this fine establishment, Lord Gaikini.
My goodness.
A very, yeah, very kind of Jabba boss Nash. Yeah. He's kind of like the big disgusting crime lord, sort of. Bosh rehydrates the Autobots. They go back to normal size. So Bosh and Lord Gaikini come to an agreement where he will give him, what, 50 Energon chips with 500 chips interest?
Looks like a lot.
And he has one hour to spend it. So he needs to earn all that in that amount of time. And then meanwhile, he will be using the Autobots in the Pit of Destruction.
Oh.
Smokescreen, you're willing to... You say that they're your friends, but you're willing to gamble away their life.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, Smokescreen's a little dubious in this episode.
Lizardo, yes, being comic relief.
Lizardo is the comic relief. He's kind of like a lizardy guy. He doesn't talk. He just kind of goes like... Smokescreen and Bosh are on the casino floor, and Smokescreen is cleaning up, and he has his little cheating wire, and he bets it all, and he's playing a slot machine. And here we see this hooded figure again that they walk past walking into the Pit of Destruction. He's got sort of like telescopic eyes, no face like a Jawa, and a purple cloak.
I was gonna say Jawa.
Which, do we ever see this guy again?
No.
I thought he was gonna be a character we see later.
He just ruins there, and he just happened to walk by, notice it, and like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he pulls...
Not knowing he bet it at all.
He pulls the plug, and Smokescreen loses. And we go to commercial one with their faces aghast.
Pogging.
I thought this guy was going to work his way into the episode, but I guess not.
Dang, this episode could have been way shorter if that guy just backed off.
Yeah, because then they would have paid Gaikini. Bosh would have had enough to fuel his ship, and then they'd be back to Earth.
Why does it seem like a Marvel Comics plot instead of a...
It is.
I mean, I mean,
it feels like it, which is why I love it. So, the Autobots get taken down into the pit to fight. Lord Gaikini has these really nice kind of business cards advertising the battle.
Like, he just printed out while they were gone. Like,
yeah.
In this hour, I'll be printing out about 5,000 of these.
And now, this is our first appearance of Decepticons in this episode. So we have a interesting group with Astrotrain, which we talked about a little bit before. And then not Thrust, but Dirge and Ramjet.
I have to leave my boy Thrust out like that.
Well, he's actually been in a lot of episodes lately, but definitely Dirge has not.
Like the last one?
Yeah.
How do you recognize them?
I finally got it. Thrust is the red one, because he's been in a lot of episodes.
Okay, I know that.
Dirge is the blue and black one, because he's the emo one. He's kind of the dark one.
He's the one that talks like that.
I'm just going to call him the emo kid.
Emojet.
And then by process of elimination, the other one is Ramjet. They're making their way toward the Pit of Destruction. And here we meet Devcon, who's been tracking him down. He's hiding behind the rocks with his really cool red boots. And here we have a very kind of Star Wars cantina scene where... Bosh and Smokescreen are kind of drowning their sorrows after losing all their money. And Slizardo's getting beat up again.
Why he's so funny and cute?
He's getting beat up for plot relevance.
Right. He even does like a cartoon where they drop him, but he hangs in midair for a second before falling. In walks Defcon, and him and Smokescreen talk about, hey, you're an Autobot. Like, yeah, I'm a bounty hunter. He's been tracking down Decepticons across the galaxy, and he's found a few here, which tips off Smokescreen. Like, oh, Decepticons are on Monarchus. And Slizardo, to pledge his loyalty after saving him, he starts kissing Defcon's hand, and now he's going to be like his Chewbacca to DEFCON's Han Solo.
Yeah, DEFCON's just like, what? Why is he's like, who? What? Get away from me.
And even then, he throws him to the ground. Slizardo just specializes in getting thrown around.
It kind of makes me sad.
And his, yeah. And his cell is walking onto the wall. So I just picture him walking onto the wall. And I picture in the next scene, he's just on the ceiling.
Yeah, if you'll need me, I'll be in a corner crying.
I'll be on the top corner of the room crying.
Here's another cool thing. So the Decepticons are here to kind of shake down Lord Gaikini. Megatron, they're here on behalf of Megatron to kind of collect their payment. So this means that Megatron is sort of like a intergalactic mob boss, that he's going around kind of collecting protection money.
He didn't pay me.
Right, yeah.
Face the price.
Yeah, he's like the godfather, and he's collecting payments in Energon chips. I just think that's such a cool concept that we've never heard about before, and I really don't know if we get back to that again.
Honestly, yeah, and all he needs to do is just do that with multiple people, and he's set for Energon.
I know. So, yeah, he's on Earth, and he's... I guess Earth is just a big resource supply. So I think he's kind of taking his time with that. But in the meantime, he has some side hustles where, you know, he probably has, if there's any other casino planet, he's taking a little bit off the top.
And now the Autobots are infused with red energon. Something from Prime, but it turns their eyes red. So that makes me think.
Lord Gaikini is getting shaken down by the cone heads. And then before he brings Optimus out into the arena, he shoots him with unstable energon. So it'll power Optimus up for a little bit, but then it'll wear off quickly to ensure that he loses. He says that. And then so he bets against Prime. So he's going to try and play the rest of the crowd for them to bet on Optimus with Gaikini, knowing that Optimus's power will run out and Optimus will lose.
Yeah, because he said, I don't think they'll last more than 2 minutes.
Yeah. Again, all this gambling strategy and terminology in a kid's show.
I just thought, with all the Star Wars parallels, even though some of them haven't even come out yet, Coleman Trebor, Dinosaur Jedi. A lot of the crowd, especially the green ones with ears.
Yes.
If he looks like a Parasol. The Worcestershire.
he has braces.
That sauce of the dinosaur world. Parasaurolophus of the
Yeah, I know that guy.
So we come back from commercial 2, and it's a full-on wrestling match between the Animalian and Optimus, and all the crowd is like, ooh, that Autobots looks strong. I'm going to bet on him. Slizardo's taking all the Energon chips.
Some oddly black.
Yeah, there are a few shots where they kind of miss the pink energy glowing effect. And then that kind of ends round one, and then they bring out Inferno, and then it's a whole, and then it's a tag team. And now there's two Animalians.
One more like the Rancor than the other.
Yeah, the other one has armor. Looking at the crowd, there are a lot of cool aliens in here. Smokescreen and Bosch, you know, Smokescreen senses that something's up, that, you know, he needs to help out Optimus. You know, finally help out your brothers in arms. He does the old Smokescreen trick, which causes chaos in the arena, enough where, like, people start taking their money back.
he got in from outside.
Yeah.
So he went outside the arena, went through a door, and put the smokescreen in. I don't understand that. It's just like an external door for pizza deliveries.
Yeah.
Or
possibly. But it's enough to have everyone run out. Everyone's coughing. The Decepticons are coughing. But Smokescreen and Bosch make their escape, and Dirge and Ramjet follow. But before they can finish off Smokescreen, DEFCON intervenes, shoots both of the cone heads. I like how the cone heads transform into robot mode to kind of cushion their fall when they hit the ground.
And then they forget that they can fly.
Yeah, just kind of walk away.
Mm.
Well, maybe their wings got shot. And they also forgot that Smokescreen was right there, and they none of them were like, oh yeah, and just shot him.
They just kind of like, oh well, walks away.
It's the bounty hunter. Let's get out of here.
After saving Smokescreen, DEFCON agrees to help them go back and save the Autobots. And on their way back to the Pit of Destruction, Smokescreen nearly runs over Slizardo.
With DEFCON running behind him.
Then we go back to Astrotrain, where the remaining Autobots, which I don't think we've said, but it's Optimus, Bumblebee, Inferno, and Perceptor?
Yeah.
They're loading Energon onto Astrotrain, and then they're going to head out. But then the Smokescreen and DEFCON up here, and then there's just a trademark shootout
with Slizardo falling after being shot out from under.
Yeah,
he's the Jar Jar.
And then here's where there's maybe a little technical thing. Ooh, yeah. Before what I was going to talk about, time code 19 minutes 26 seconds. The Bosch and Slizardo are walking toward the camera, and the camera kind of like tracks in on them. Slizardo's his cell does not change where Bosch is walking toward the camera, and he's getting bigger in the frame, but it just looks like Slizardo goes in front of him and stays the same size and then kind of shrinks. Besides some coloring things, it was maybe the most egregious error.
And he's still just pointing the gun at Lord Gaikini, standing there emotionlessly.
That's funny because even with that animation error, the next shot he is in front of Bosch. It's like maybe. See, he gets there before Bosch. Oh, weird. So. It's like a technical mistake, but it's in continuity, it's correct. Weird. But here's another thing. The Autobots get loaded onto Astrotrain. Like, they're in Astrotrain. And then Astrotrain gets energized by the Energon. He gets refueled. Then he transforms. And I was like, oh no, did he just crush all the Autobots inside? But he didn't, because they're all outside.
Spike saying, Bumblebee, time to transform. You're inside. Just do it.
That's what I thought was going to happen, but they don't really do anything with that. The Autobots still under their kind of Bosch mind control. They're just standing outside of Astrotrain. Smokescreen does another smokescreen, and then Bosch and everybody leads the Autobots by the hand. They kind of hold their hand.
Like
they're crossing the street.
Car. Yes, it looks like they're crossing the street as a big family.
Aww.
Yeah.
Look at them.
All with handkerchiefs to their noses.
That was enough for the Astrotrain and the Coneheads to leave. they decided to retreat and they take off. But then DEFCON is like, I'm going to pursue them. And this is where Slizardo joins him.
Slizardo.
Yeah. He opens up his little cockpit and Slizardo gets in and then they take off. So,
because his epic red boots are his thrusters.
Yes. And they wave goodbye and then we never see them again.
They got shot down.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not either. Neither.
And here we go with the final scene. The mind-controlled Autobots are no longer under mind control. Bosch is kind of forgiven. His smokescreen's like, hey, you don't remember anything, guys, but I do. He's cool. I can vouch for him.
Now let's go gamble.
Well, yeah. So Bosch says that the Energon has refueled his ship, and so he can take the Autobots back to Earth, but he's like, but you know, we could have some fun in the casinos before we go. And Optimus is like, sounds good. And then so it ends. I'm expecting like a montage of the Autobots like playing poker and playing
crying.
Like
all All I'm seeing is that Perceptor's in the corner having one of those giant slushies. Those giant alcoholic slushies instead.
Yeah.
Oh, in Vegas, like the really long, like kind of trumpet-looking thing.
So many parents at the casinos that we walked around were holding one of those. Like,
I have a grand vision.
He's just slurping it in the corner.
Bumblebee's waiting outside. He's too young.
Yeah.
Smokescreen is having the time of his life. Inferno's having a bit of trouble. Optimus Prime's having trouble even doing anything. Like, so how do you gamble?
I think Optimus would be like a grandma and just play the penny slots.
Yeah. Like, or just watch the coin pusher fall.
I don't go anything. Yeah.
I just think they're neat and watches it all.
I like to play the penny slots for the funny animations.
So that's it. That is the end of The Gambler. Who wants to go first?
Elsa, would you like to go first?
Sure. The Gambler is all right. It's okay. Probably around 7.
Okay.
I liked it. Just wasn't my thing.
Interesting. Emmett?
Well, I was honestly complete opposite. 8.5.
What?
I liked it. Not completely amazing. It's like a, this episode's really good. It's that kind of episode, not an, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's a, pretty good. I like a lot of things. It's Lizardo. And I bet George Lucas saw this and went, that's a cool Jedi. I need to include that. Comic relief.
Oh, no. Let's not blame this episode.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go.
Still really good.
I'm going to go one higher. I'm going to go 9.5. It felt like it was a part. It was a slice of a larger world that we don't get to see. You have an off-world casino. Again, you have the Energon being used as currency. You have Megatron sending out the Coneheads as kind of like enforcers to collect his money, like a mafia boss. You have gladiatorial combat, bounty hunters. It is very Star Wars, but it was a welcome sight. Again, broken record. I always like when episodes kind of shake it up. But maybe not too much, but I think this one gave it was played serious enough, and it was very well written, where it kept moving and it introduced new ideas, but it was never boring. It was just always introducing new concepts, and it was a pretty efficient script. So, 9.5 for me.
Interesting.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah. Really enjoyed it.
Can't wait to see that DevCon. If it exists.
I hope so, because he's really cool. Okay, so there it is. There's The Gambler. And then we'll be back next week, and we will have a guest. We should be back to guest for a while, as long as I can book him, and we can record these in proper fashion. But we hope you'll join us for that. It's a very cool guest. And we hope to see you then on an all-new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.